Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers episode 65. Saying it really quickly because we have got a lot to get through today, Tom.
Hello.
And also we've turned the air conditioning off and it's going to be 34 degrees today Celsius.
Yep, so listen quick, friends. We've got cool weather to enjoy later.
We'll be powering through this. Got a cool quiz. One of the quizzes that I think you're going to say, oh no, I don't know that much about. And no. I've made it so that I know that you're going to be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got total faith. I've been watching a few things. Return of the Walking Dead, so yep. That will be sitting behind the spoiler section.
Yep.
And lots of news.
I got lots of news, lots of trailers, a couple of things watched, some good, and one thing that I watched that's just got the best story. Oh, I can't wait to share this story. I had to do some research afterwards.
An afterwards research moment.
Yep, and I feel like I've plugged a few holes in their story. It's great.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay. Maybe they should get you on as a consultant.
Nah, I don't.
Because if you've got consultant fees, it's more than just like
sure. Your
normal cast or, you know, crew.
Yeah, it could be a guest executive producer.
Yes! All right, kick it off. What's the biggest story that you saw?
All right, the one I got most excited about came out this morning, mm-hmm. And that is that there are five Marvel animated series coming to Hulu.
So are they sort of still living in the Avengers?
I don't know if they're part of the MCU. They haven't confirmed that, yes or no.
Okay.
It's interesting that they're going to Hulu considering the Netflix Marvel shows are all wrapping up.
Looks
that way. But Hulu, Disney have bought Fox, and Fox already had a huge chunk of Hulu, as did Disney. So Disney now owns a major chunk of it. And I think it means that they can make these animated series be a little more adult because the ones that they're doing makes a lot of sense for them to be adult. I'm going to fire them off real quick.
Go for it.
They've got some epic names involved. First one that I know I can tell you now the ladies are going to enjoy. It's called Tigra and Dazzler Show. It's about the story of two woke superheroes and best friends, Tigra and Dazzler. Tigra is a woman who's partly humanoid like a tiger and she wears a bikini and...
Like a tiger.
That's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
Amazing.
And Dazzler was created, I want to say in the early 80s because Marvel missed the disco craze, but she was made as like a tie-in with some advertising company.
Okay.
And she converts sound into light waves, so she's a really big pop star. Think Britney Spears.
I was almost thinking Shearer.
Sure.
Was that?
Shearer is from He-Man.
No, I've got the wrong Gem. That was her name,
and
Gem.
And the holograms.
Yeah.
Very much so, that sort of thing.
Brilliant.
I think it was even created for potentially Dolly Parton to voice. Something along those lines. Anyway.
What do you reckon the chances are of getting her to do this now?
Very small. That's not the angle they're going for.
Okay.
I can see them going for someone really young and sassy.
Okay.
You know, get a Hailee Steinfeld.
Get someone from the Netflix pool of young talent that they keep.
They've got a lot of
them. Yeah, still someone.
So that one, they're a pair fighting for recognition among powered people who make up 8 million stories in Los Angeles, and that's executive produced by Chelsea Handler.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I am intrigued to see what this one's going to be like then, because Chelsea's going to want that to go all sorts of wrong.
Yes.
In the fun, you know, funny wrong.
And I can see it doing so.
Yeah, if it's on Hulu, then the chances are she might get a bit in there. Oh, good. That sounds fresh, new, cool.
That's very cool. There's another one called Hit Monkey. This one I'm really excited about.
Hit Monkey.
Yes, as in an assassin monkey.
So not like cool hip monkey.
No. So this tells the tale of a wronged Japanese snow monkey mentored by the ghost of an American assassin as he cuts a wide sway through the Tokyo underworld in this darkly cinematic and brutally funny revenge saga.
Gee, you got to wonder what the sessions were when they came up with some of these characters.
Yeah, well, Hit Monkey is maybe 10 years old. Was from
not that old.
No, I think he even got started in Deadpool. He was tied with Deadpool for quite some time.
Okay, so that's the kind of flavor.
Yes,
that
it's
we can
very
it
dark.
As. Okay,
he can shoot four guns at once because his feet work.
Of course,
uh-huh. Yeah. So dusty there. They're bringing back Howard the Duck.
Which
was a terrible late 80s film from George Lucas that bad movie lovers love. He also made a very brief cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy, voiced by Seth Green.
in the first or second one?
Majorly in the first one, just as a quick shot in the second one, but voiced by Seth Green. Okay. He was locked up in the collector's vault. So this one is going to be written and executive produced by Kevin Smith. Howard the Duck is trapped in a world he never made, but America's favorite fighting fowl hopes to return home with the help of his unstoppable gal pal Beverly before the evil Dr. Bong can turn him into the crispiest dish on the menu.
Dr. Bong.
Yeah, he has a giant bell for a head.
Oh, not the sword I was thinking
about.
No, no. A giant.
Yep. This has the potential to be very, very weird, but the one that's the top of the list for me, MODOK. So MODOK stands for something organism, or like military organism designed only for killing.
Okay. All right.
He's an egomaniacal supervillain with a really big head and a really little body who struggles to maintain control of his evil organization and his demanding family. And it's executive produced and written by Patton Oswalt.
Oh, no way.
Yes. And I was telling you about MODOK before. I have long time held a dream that he would be played by Peter Dinklage. Because you need someone who can, I mean, who's got a very expressive face. Because all this character is a face on a giant head that's in a floating chair with tiny little body that dangles underneath.
And he's been in Marvel, so.
Yeah, he's been around for quite some time and he's gotten sillier and sillier as the years have gone by and they've used him more as a joke.
Do you remember him in Elf? He was a really angry children's book writer.
Call me Elf again.
God, that was amazing. I loved him in that.
And then the fifth series is the five of them coming together, just like Netflix Defenders, except this one's going to be called The Offenders. And all of them are forced to team up in order to save the world and certain parts of the universe. Not all of it.
There are a lot of people. There are names behind all of this.
Uh-huh. There's some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Kevin Smith, Patton Oswalt. I mean, Chelsea Handler, she was on Netflix until about a year ago. Mm. So this is interesting to see that now she's, well, not jumped ship, but she's gone elsewhere and is taking a more sort of producing role.
Yeah.
In something that I wouldn't have thought she would get involved in.
No, but I can see her sassiness is really going to come through because it's going to be two very D-list superheroes trying to make it in the world. Struggle.
I got a lot of time for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very, very... So when... Is there sort of any...
No firm date.
So
on
it's
anything?
Only just announced that it's
yes,
their things.
So potentially
okay.
Something very late this year, but it's animation, so it could actually be mid next year.
2020. Yeah. All right.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Well, I do have a firm date for Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
It's been pushed back to the 5th of June or June 5th, depending on what part of the world you're from.
Yep.
And that makes sense to me because her name is June.
Ooh.
So, you know, June comes back in June. But it does mean that season 3 will be out of contention for the 2019 Emmy Awards.
Sure, that's a very interesting choice because that's literally when May sweeps finish.
Mm.
So it's almost like they've decided that's all when all the big shows will wrap. Let's jump in there because there won't be much competition.
We'll have a think about, I mean, we mentioned Peter Dinklage, but have a think about what show is wrapping.
Sure.
Maybe they're just like, you know what?
Stay away from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, just stay away. Because I assume if they're going to be in, if they've missed the 2019 Emmys, I think the cutoff is the 1st of June, so they're on the 5th. Surely that means that they're in contention for the 2020.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, is it too far away for...
No, it always just sits within that year. Okay. It's an odd thing.
So, yeah, firm date on that one. There was not so much a date, but there was word that Big Little Lies, which has got a second season, which I kind of wasn't sure if there would be, but at the end of the first season, it felt like it wrapped up, but then there was just a last little shot where you thought, okay, so there is room for this to continue. And obviously it is. Reese Witherspoon's back and everybody's back. But the executive producers are saying probably going to be the last season
simply because
they don't think there's enough story to...
Fair.
Yeah. And also, it's how many A-list actresses are there in that?
Sure. It's a limited series. It's not meant to be ongoing.
And it was a book that I feel that would have finished. Anyway, exciting.
Mm-hmm. One that got me pretty pumped. And I actually remember seeing this joke tweet go out a year and a half or whatever it was ago. But everyone's talking about Fyre Festival.
Yes.
Because there's the two competing documentaries.
I saw a little bit, maybe the first half hour of the Netflix one.
It's pretty good.
Yeah? So you finished it?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about this later.
Look, it was fine. It was good. There was some good laughs through there. It was pretty shocking. But straight after it happened, Seth Rogen put out a tweet of like, man, this would make a good movie.
With Seth Rogen in it.
Well, Seth Rogen and the Lonely Island have been working in secret on this movie for a while.
Please tell me Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it as well. That'd be awesome.
I have heard that they're roping in a lot of their famous friends. They're going to film it in the mockumentary style that they did Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stoppin'. I'm so on board with this.
I love mockumentaries.
Popstar is one of the most underrated mockumentaries of the last 10 years, I reckon. It didn't get a cinema release here in Australia. I don't know why. It's so funny.
And they're it's got funny blokes.
And it's just got so many famous people that you never see being funny, like really get like Seal.
Yeah?
He's hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
He makes
a joke about where the scars came from.
And it's a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to watch that one develop. I don't know how far into production they are, but I know that they've been working on it for some time because they've all just started talking about it this week.
Okay, so this is like the big public announcement. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the way the Fyre Festival did their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get all these influencers to start talking about it.
That's right.
I still remember that cheese sandwich.
And that shot of the Jell-O.
Yes. Yeah. What else did you find?
We don't need to go into it, but there's a new Shaft movie coming out. You might remember. Shaft,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Who's the man there? Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
A new Shaft movie is arriving June 14th, and it's three generations of Shaft. So Richard Roundtree, who was originally Shaft back in the day in the 70s, Samuel Jackson, who played his nephew in a film that was, I want to say, about 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't even remember who they've got, but they've got someone who's now playing another son or something like that. So a third generation.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
It looks like the trailer had a lot of swagger to it.
I like a good bit of swagger. Yeah. Hey, did you see that they've got another one of those Stranger Things novels coming out?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so one came out earlier this month, February, in case you're listening to it.
In the future. Yeah. What's just the past?
Binge listening. So this one is going to be about Jim Hopper, the cop.
Sure.
It'll be his origin story. So
he's having a big year, David Harbour.
Oh, all say, right?
Well, he's got Hellboy coming out soon.
Stranger Things season 3.
Yeah.
This, I don't know how much he's actually got involved in this because it's a book. But, you know, it's shedding light on his character. Because all we know is that he was married, they had a daughter, and the daughter died. I think that's all we were told in Stranger Things about his character. This one's called Stranger Things Darkness on the Edge of Town, and it'll be out on the 4th of June, so you can read all of that and then start watching Handmaid's Tale.
There you go. Maybe we'll see the origin story of his dad bod.
Yeah, maybe, because it's all about him being like a cop in New York City.
Oh, so donuts.
Yeah, that's where it's from.
There you go, solved.
I like the fact that they're doing this.
Yeah, expand that universe.
Remember they were going to do the Telltale game?
Mm-hmm.
Before obviously, they went under. That's not a thing anymore. But I wonder if now they're focusing on the novels whilst they're waiting for some gaming company to develop it for them.
Oh, I think it's that, and I think it's also striking while the iron's hot. They're a very hot property. You want to get as much lunchbox.
Absolutely.
And everything money.
Oh, the cover of the books are very 80s paperback.
They've been doing the same with the comic book
series. Looks nice.
There's a comic series that's doing really well.
So. Have you read any of it?
No.
Oh.
I don't really read tie-in stuff because it's normally...
Yeah, fair enough.
Nosh.
Yeah.
With Better Moves and David Brent. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
A bit of a sad one. I've been following closely whether or not World War Z 2 would be happening.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned it on the podcast or if we just chatted about it.
I don't think we have, but David Fincher was signed to direct, which is amazing and would have made for a really dark, messed up movie. It is after many, many years of trying to get across the line and get going, it's finally... They've put it down.
The funny thing is that the first movie had so many problems, mainly because it's nothing like the books.
Yes.
And
reshoots and like they changed more than a third of the film.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine that a combination of script issues combined with how much it was going to cost. Yeah.
It's just
not happening now.
Such a shame. I still think they would be worthwhile doing a limited series about it.
Yeah. Can you imagine how good it would be on a Netflix or even an HBO?
Yeah. throw it in there. So yeah. many amazing different chapters and stories that were great.
And you could even, like, instead of doing it as a series style, you could even put out, like, one mini movie a quarter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4-hour-long movies a year, each touching on a different element of the fall of mankind.
Because the only connection is the fall of mankind yep. in them all. There's no, I don't think there's any carryover characters from one to the other. It's all really different. Anything else?
I've got two. One is Walking Dead related. Should mm-hmm. we wait until the spoiler section?
Yeah, maybe, because yep. I think I've probably got the same one.
I think so. We'll yeah. pop that the way. The other one. Oh, so Universal Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios in Florida.
Mm.
Both of them over there. They're adding a new Harry Potter ride. Everyone's known this has been coming for a while, but we haven't known exactly what it is. There's been rumors and stuff. Some concept art has leaked.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely Hagrid. Its working title is Hagrid's Magical Creatures. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Hagrid was the you know, the teacher and in charge of the bestiary, keeping the animals alive and stuff like that.
Robbie Coltrane.
Yes. So it looks to be a full roller coaster, but you ride on Hagrid's motorbike or in the sidecar.
Fun.
It looks like nothing I've ever seen because it's a proper roller coaster,
yeah.
but it works in elements of dark rides, which is like a Pirates of the Caribbean or
yep.
where you see animatronics working.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be using screens, which is Universal's big trick. They love doing 3D screens and stuff like that.
Interesting.
But it's going to have roller coaster, dark ride. Like, they're just trying to smoosh together every different type of ride experience
yeah.
into one thing that's going to blow minds. It looks quite long. We're going to see Fluffy, which is a three-headed Cerberus dog, all this sort of stuff. But, yeah, I'm very excited about this.
Is there a completion date?
Well, they're saying it might be summer this year because...
Gee, that's soon.
Well, they've got to push really hard because Disney, both coasts, are opening Star Wars Land.
Okay.
And when that opens, they're going to be real busy. So mm-hmm. Universal tries to have something new every year.
Mm.
And sometimes it's a big thing and sometimes it's just moving something that was on one coast to the other.
Mm.
But this is a big thing to compete with Star Wars Land. Yeah.
Harry Potter and Star Wars,
uh-huh.
both winning properties. Look, I saw this one a while ago and I thought it's just worth a quick little mention that Hallmark Channel over in the US is going to start screening Christmas movies just all year round. It was going to do it all year round.
Okay.
Look, when I think March, I think Christmas, right?
Mm.
When you think Easter, you think Christmas. I can only assume that it's because they have had some request. I don't know. I've got no idea.
Are they going to have theme months? Are they going to have April and stuff? I don't see how this works.
And how are they going to tie Halloween into Christmas?
Nightmare Before Christmas. There you go. Job done.
Just play that over and over again on Hallmark.
Happily.
Weird, right? That's the end of my newsy stories. Have you got any more or have you got some trailery stuff?
I'll just put them all in the trailers.
Yeah, do
There's it. So many good new trailers.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I'll blaze through some real quick. There's a new trailer for Ride with Norman Reedus, which I believe might have started last night.
Yeah, it did. I didn't catch it, but he was sort of talking about it on Instagram and
Twitter.
Sure.
I've downloaded the first episode with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Mm.
I believe they're
good mates.
In London.
So that should be a good one.
Yes, but the theme of this season looks to be Norman's obsession with aliens. And there's an episode they go to Roswell and he talks about the X-Files a lot.
I was going to say, how hard do you reckon he's going for Gillian Anderson or David Duchovny or both?
Sure. Well, I've seen some, I've definitely spotted both Carol, Dwight and Negan as people that he's riding with.
Cool.
There'll be some other people in the mix.
Hmm.
The trailer has everyone with biking helmets on, which is not the best way to sell your show.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know who the people are. This is not The Masked Singer.
Could just be Stig.
Could be the Stig. Documentary Now Season 3 kicks off February 20, so that's
cool.
A week away or something like that. Fred Armisen back for some more funny. What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series. Oh. So it's none of the vampires or any of the characters from the original film. This is a New York set series.
Cool.
But it might be in England or something. I don't know. They have a lot of English actors. So Kyvan Novak, who, trust me, you'd know him when you see him. He's mm-hmm. a great impressionist from the UK and been on lots of stuff. He's one of the main vampires. Matt Berry from Mighty Boosh.
Mm.
Toast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So imagine, it looks like it's just Toast as a vampire.
I really think he's so good for anything, any part in this show.
Well, the trailer has him hovering and having a fight with someone that turns just into a slap fight. all that sort of stuff. And the character I'm most excited for, I can't remember his character's name or the actor's name, but he's an energy vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just the most boring person ever. And he, if he gets close to you, he just saps your will to live.
Oh, that's so good.
So he can walk around in the normal day and he's just a normal guy, but people can't stand being near him.
I'm so glad they're making this into a TV show because so many people love the movie.
Yes. Now, I haven't seen too much of werewolves, but there was something about, I think there was a joke about smelling werewolf piss.
Okay.
So that makes me hopeful that the werewolves, not the werewolves, will get in there. And yeah, that comes in out in a couple of weeks. And I just, oh, I'm excited for that.
Sounds
one.
Good.
Did you see the trailer for Aladdin?
Okay. I did see a little bit of that trailer.
Okay. My notes for that, I just wrote down Aladdin. What?
Yeah, Will Smith looks like someone has literally painted him blue.
He looks like Tobias from Arrested Development. I'm worried. I'm afraid I blew myself.
He doesn't even look like Avatar blue. He just looks painted blue.
Is he meant to be like the Fresh Prince of Bahrain or something?
Maybe.
I don't get it.
Maybe. Such a hard character to do if you're not Robin Williams. But you know what I mean?
I found it really disappointing because the Lion King trailer has me so amped to see a live action one of that. But between Aladdin and Dumbo, God, Dumbo, I do not want to see Tim Burton directing Dumbo. I don't want to see his vision of Dumbo.
Yes, it doesn't have Johnny Depp in it.
That we know of.
Yeah.
Come on, you know he's going to voice a pink elephant or some bullshit.
Yeah.
Hate you, Tim Burton. And any listener that thinks I'm wrong, you're wrong. Tim Burton sucks.
Come at me
with anything you've got. There's a new show starting called Tacoma FD. It's a fire department comedy series from Two Fifths of Broken Lizard, which is the Super Trooper guys.
Mm.
So it's starring Steve Lemmy, who was Mac in Super Troopers, and Kevin Heffernan, who's Father, who's everyone's favourite.
Yeah, of course. Now, is this, I was just wondering, is this going to be a bit of Reno 911-ish, or is it going to be more Brooklyn 911?
I think it's going to be more Brooklyn 99.
99. 911.
From what I've seen, it doesn't look real.
Yeah, okay.
Those two starring alongside Pillboy from Good Place, Eugene. And so that's going to be on True TV. It's paired with Impractical Jokers, both kicking off March 28th.
Yeah, that'll be good. That sounds like solid back-to-back.
That's a Tom night.
Yeah, that is a Tom night.
I'm very happy with that. And then finally, I know I sent it through to you. You've got to check this out. An Aussie horror movie called Little Monsters.
Mm.
So it's a horror comedy. It's starring Lupita Nyong'o and Josh Gad. It's about a kindergarten excursion to a petting farm during the zombie apocalypse. And the craziest part was Shay nearly auditioned for this.
Really?
We had it and we talked a bit about it and she said she didn't want to see zombies, so we didn't send her because at that point Josh Gad wasn't cast. I think if we'd said, hey, Olaf from Frozen will be there or, you know, LeFou from Beauty and the Beast will be there. Should have been all over that.
Wow.
But this film looks really good. It just had its premiere at Sundance and had a really strong reaction.
It looks good. I like the premise. Imagine having to take care of like a whole heap of five-year-olds and take care of them during a zombie apocalypse.
She tricks them into thinking that everyone's just playing tag.
Yeah.
And that the kids are really good at it because they're fast. So there's no firm release date for that one. Obviously, Sundance, where they were using it to shop around and see, so you get some distribution. But
so we should hear some news soon.
I hope so.
Yeah. Any other trailers?
Nah, that'll do you. You've had your full.
Right. That'll teach us. Like we said, we will have a Walking Dead spoiler section after the quiz.
Indeed.
But in the meantime, have you been watching all of the things?
I've watched some of the things, and then I also took a break from watching some of the things to build some Lego.
Fair enough. How did the Lego go?
It's pretty good. I built a book that's a pop-up book. So it's like a book thing and you open it up and inside pops up Little Red Riding Hood.
Fun.
Yeah, it took ages. But it was very technical, but it was one of those things that when it clicked, it was like, oh, shit.
I done good.
Yeah, I made that happen.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Well, speaking of books, I think I mentioned it last week that I had almost finished an audiobook and I just wanted
to finish it off, put it to bed before we talked.
So I was intrigued after watching the trailer of Mortal Engines.
Yes.
And hearing that it was a book and that the movie wasn't that great, but the book was pretty good. Well, it's a series of books. I thought, I'm gonna try the first one. But I'm already reading Game of Thrones as in paper version.
Yes.
I thought, I'm going to throw it in as an audio book. Have a listen to it that way. I don't know, like it was okay, but I wasn't that blown away by it. I felt like I should have liked it more than I did. I'm also not a young adult, which clearly is what it's tailored to.
Yeah, we're outside that demographic.
Absolutely. There were some things that you thought, oh, I could see that coming a mile off. And then there were other bits where you're like, did you really need to get rid of that character? Because I know you're a series. Surely that character could have stayed around. Maybe they do. I don't know. But it seemed like there were a couple of choices where you're just like, really?
Maybe book two is Immortal Engines.
Maybe it is.
I don't know. I'm not looking into it. I've done my time with young adult things.
I think you said to me, you were like, it would have been good if the movie had been made maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, when Divergent and those ones were hot.
Yeah.
Catching fire.
But now it's, you've got that distance between that popularity.
If you got pipped to the post by The Maze Runner, you're too late.
Yeah, even Divergent. It was all right.
Was it though?
The Hunger Games was.
Remember when Shailene, what was that? Shailene Woodley. Everyone was trying to make her a thing.
Mm.
I'm glad that didn't pan out.
Mm. Yeah.
I've no time for her.
She's hanging out in Big Little Lies.
Yeah, but she just talks a lot of shit off screen.
Oh, does she?
Oh, she's got a mouth on her. She loves to throw people under the bus.
Shailene, just the name makes you think that she should be doing a Dolly Parton biopic, except
oh, yeah.
She doesn't look anything like Dolly
Parton.
She's
a Kath and Kim C-list character. Shailene?
Yes, Sharon's cousin.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not going to read the next one. I'm fine with knowing enough about it to just walk away.
Fair.
But you know me, I like those stories, those worlds, those universes where it's something's happened, whether it's been apocalyptical or it's some sort of dystopia. I like to understand the world and why it is.
Mm.
That kind of thing they give to you in little bits and pieces, but this wasn't so much about that. I think I felt like I wanted it to be more of a Horizon Zero Dawn story where you
sure.
get to know bits and pieces about why the world is now like it is, instead of this is the world, let's have some fun
yep.
and adventures. Didn't get it. So now I'm even less likely to watch the movie.
Just don't do it.
Not going to do it.
Don't do it.
Watch me not do it. See, I'm not doing it now.
You are not the watchers?
I am not watching. I'm not the watcher of the, yeah. What did you actually watch?
Oh, right. I got 1, 2, 3, 4 things that I will cover off.
Go for
it. I'm going to do them pretty quick. One was Arrow had their 150th episode, and it was very
cool. That's a lot of Arrow.
That's a lot of Arrow, season 7. It was very cool because it was documentary style.
Oh, I like that.
And it turns out that they've been filming these little bits and pieces with actors over the years and compiling them for when they wanted to do this, of a documentary about whether or not vigilantism is a good thing.
So is it the actors or is it the characters speaking?
It's the characters speaking.
That's cool.
But they've filmed stuff like from people that haven't been on the show 3 or 4 years ago. And some of them I'm sure they got to come back and do bits, but some of them were younger and looked younger and everything.
I like that.
It was a very clever take. And it didn't last the entire episode. There was a point where, you know, it suddenly broke that reality mm-hmm. and the characters had to go and do things that the cameras couldn't be present for. Mm. But for the first, I want to say 10 minutes of this episode, it was entirely just talking heads about whether or not people taking justice into their own hands is a good thing.
What an interesting take.
Yeah.
And the fact that they'd had that idea for so long, that's really clever.
Yeah, and they've just sat on it. And
yeah.
I've seen things like this before, but it's always from the view of the people looking up at the heroes. But to actually have the heroes talking and these not be superpowered people, these are just people that have trained.
Mm.
It was a very cool angle to take. It really worked. So congrats to them on 150 episodes. That's huge.
That's a lot of syndication.
That's a lot of work on a salmon ladder. That guy just...
Exactly.
Yep. So that was great. I watched Overlord yesterday, which been in my queue for so long. I missed it at the cinema, which I was very disappointed with myself. Mm. It's an Aussie director, a genre flick, part of Bad Robot, potentially Cloverfield. Not Cloverfield. Really good fun. If you like genre stuff, if you like things where shit goes bad and creepy stuff happens, this was great.
Okay.
So it's set in World War II. It's a small handful of soldiers are sent behind enemy lines to take out a radio tower the day before D-Day.
Mm.
And this radio tower needs to come down in order to let the boats talk to each other and able to get to the beach.
Sure.
And what they discover in this village is awful. And I've read a lot of stories about this because I'm not so much into conspiracies, but I love mythology and this sort of stuff. And Hitler was obsessed with the idea of having a 1,000-year Reich, and he wanted to have soldiers that would last.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been lots of different ways that people have taken that story and interpreted that differently. So there's a big storyline in Hellboy in the series of one evil Nazi scientist is attaching people's heads to gorillas' bodies, or just very odd things in trying to get this idea of a 1,000-year Reich going. He also, Hitler aligns with one of Dracula's lieutenants about turning people into vampires.
Okay.
All this sort of stuff. So this film takes that idea. It's a hard sci-fi look at what Nazis might have done to achieve immortality, and it is awful.
Is it real? Do you finish the movie feeling exhausted?
It stayed with me.
Yeah.
The main SS trooper is Euron Greyjoy.
Oh, right.
And you remember his insane eyes and creepy grin?
Oh, yeah.
That gets put...
He's the insane, creepy Scandinavian version of Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Sure. And it's no spoiler because it's shown in the trailer, but at one point half his face gets shot off.
Oh, wow.
But because of things going on, it doesn't necessarily stop him.
Okay.
And it,
intriguing.
Yeah, it was really good fun. I highly recommend it. I was disappointed I didn't see it at the cinemas. It comes out on DVD, I think, this week and stuff.
Cool.
But I'd pre-ordered it on iTunes, so it dropped and I sat down straight away.
You were like, this is my time.
Yes.
Perfect.
What do you watch?
So I decided to, I don't know if you read or heard much about the Netflix show Sex Education. It had Gillian Anderson in it. It came out in January, I think.
No, I don't think so, no.
What sparked my attention.
Should have called it Sex Files.
That's
a missed opportunity. Sorry.
What was confusing, or at least what was confusing people at the time when it first came out, is they couldn't figure out when or where it was set. Because it was set in England.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had English accents.
Mm-hmm.
Gillian Anderson was English. Yet it's basically set in a school. And this boy, his mum is a sex therapist. Gillian Anderson.
Right.
So he starts getting his own clientele from school and giving them sex therapy.
Okay.
It's very much like a teen show / comedy, more comedy than anything else.
Sure.
But the whole school looks American in that people are wearing, you know, those sports jackets that Americans wear, the
blazer.
With the letter. Yeah, the letter on it.
Yeah.
That, and even the school logo looks American. And then for most of the first episode, I assumed it was set in the early 90s because that's what it looked like, depending on everyone's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly someone got out an iPhone. I went, what's going on? So there's very much a style that they have set for this. I think they want it to be kind of like a John Hughes sort of thing, except they've set it in England and they've set it in today. It
sounds like they're not committing.
I'm very confused. You watch the people in the background. Like, I love watching extras.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all wearing clothes that I swear people in Beverly Hills 90210 or 16 Candles would have been wearing.
Sure.
Confusing. Kind of funny. Got some good bits in it. Once you get past the fact that you're not quite sure why the style they've gone for exists, you can get past it and it's just easy television watching.
Is it a bit sexy?
It's a bit sexy in some bits, so obviously it's catered for teenagers to watch it by themselves and think that they're pretty cool that they're watching it. It's the kind of show that I think I would have liked as a teenager.
Sure.
If that was on after Beverly Hills 90210, like, how's that a back-to-back amazing?
Oh.
Well, it's all right. If there's a second season, I probably won't watch it, but I'm happily spending an hour, or I think the episodes are like 40, 50 minutes. I'm happily spending a day or 2 days watching an episode or two. You can get through it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mary. Something about that makes me think it's not actually hair gel. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Sunday afternoon, very lucky, we, Shay, myself and Linz went along to a preview screening of Lego Movie 2, the second part.
Okay.
So it's a bit unusual because it's had worldwide release pretty much everywhere like this past Thursday except for Australia where it was made. Well done, Warner Brothers. They're holding out for that school holiday money again.
It's really frustrating though.
I'm not going to go into too many spoilers because we have plenty of Aussie listeners and I loved it. It was great fun. The songs are better, even better than Everything Is Awesome.
Wow, don't tell Tegan and Sarah that.
I'm happily tell them that because the equivalent song on this soundtrack is Beck with The Lonely Island Robin, and it is a straight jam.
That's great.
T-Pain does a song that only has one line. It just goes over and over and over, and it works.
I feel like there's a few words that I could guess he would be saying. Okay.
No, it's...
Is it auto-tuned?
Yeah. This song's going to get stuck inside you. This song's going to get stuck. Yeah, there's more, a lot more to it than that. But the thing that blew my mind when I looked into it afterwards is one of the main songwriters on the film who did a lot of these hilarious songs is a guy named John LaJoy, who, if you remember early internet videos, there was a really bad rapper called Everyday Normal Guy, and he did songs like Show Me Your Genitals. He ended up going on, he was on The League for many years as Taco. Anyway, he's written a bunch of songs for the movie and stuff. I just find it so bizarre that this guy pops up and does things
in the most random places.
Some excellent new additions to the cast for Lego Movie 2.
Like big proper names?
There's a few that are big names, but there's a few that, if you're a fan of the IT crowd, you're very well looked after with this film.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So obviously you loved the original Lego movie, as most people did. It was fantastic. So you were going into this movie with pretty high expectations?
Yeah, I was pretty amped up for it. And I don't know, in the same way that first one has such an emotional slamming U-turn that happens at the beginning of Act 3, it doesn't have the exact same style of doing it. The film has a lot of emotional maturity that comes throughout it. And whereas the first film was Everything Is Awesome, it's, you know, don't focus on the negative. Yeah. The second one's about, actually, hang on, maybe having different emotions is a good thing. It makes you more of a rounded person as you grow up and perhaps leads to better interactions with your family. So maybe everything is not awesome,
maybe,
but that's okay.
But that's like, that's awesome, that's not awesome. Yeah. Interesting. What did Shay think?
She loved it.
Oh, okay.
Very keen to see it again. Nice. I had to buy the soundtrack the second we walked out. Some very, very funny jokes through there. I won't say who it is, but there is a recurring cameo that just is so left field, but they keep hammering it and it's great.
It works.
Yeah. Any listener in the state that's seen it, you know who I'm talking about. Okay. Coming out to the coast, it's hilarious.
Oh, man, why do we have to wait so long?
I know.
This is not fair. Just really quickly, I was having a pretty chill Sunday afternoon, so
as
I decided
you
to watch
to
a
do.
Few things, and I went on to ABC iView, and I saw Alan Partridge Mid-Morning Matters was on. So
with,
I started
with Tim?
Yeah. So I started watching that. But I think there was something wrong with a couple of the episodes in that it was the same episode. It didn't matter which one you clicked on, it was the same one.
Oh.
So I was a bit frustrated about that. I thought, oh no. I don't know, it just makes me excited to watch more.
I know.
You know when you're in the mood for that kind of thing?
Yeah.
A little taster. So if you want to jump on and watch a couple for free, they're sitting there.
Make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anything else before we get into the quiz?
One last one.
Go.
So this was that story I was talking about that had a great story. So you know I love Porn Stars, that show about the guys in Vegas who run a great porn store.
It always looks big. It looks like a huge shop.
It is big. Yeah. And they have a massive warehouse and they've got other stores connected and things. Anyway, so every now and then they have some very odd stuff come in. They deal with a lot with weapons and things like that from the past. But someone brought in a vampire defense kit from the late 1900s.
No way. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love this.
So this thing was cool enough anyway. It looked like a, you know, almost 2 foot long lock box. Wooden, opened it up in there. It had two little hand cannons. And I say hand cannons, they were handguns, tiny little things, but they fired 50 cal. really big cartridge. So these things had serious kick to them. It had silver bullets. It had garlic cloves. Anything, you know, crucifixes, anything associated with the mythology of vampires was in there to defeat them.
It's amazing.
And there was a note and a postcard. And they couldn't work out what the note was about. And it was, the note was written to Philip from Arthur. And it mentioned something about an abbey. And they used a few different historians to help piece this stuff together. It turns out that this was a gift from Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote Sherlock.
Right.
To a guy who was closely linked to Bram Stoker, who created Dracula. The guy's name was Philip Byrne Jones, whose most famous work is a painting called The Vampire. And that painting inspired his cousin, Rudyard Kipling, who's the guy that did The Jungle Book. What the hell?
And it ended up in Vegas.
Ended up in Vegas. So some of this stuff here, that's why I say I went and researched more, because they threw out these names and they were like, they didn't go into detail exactly who all those people were. What a cool friendship group.
That's insane.
So Arthur Conan Doyle sent it to this guy, Philip Byrne Jones, and it was, there was a joke in the letter in there about Pixie. And Pixie was this guy, Philip Byrne Jones, his mistress.
Okay.
Who was supposedly the model used for the vampire painting.
Right. Oh, wow.
So that's what I mean. There's so many layers of connections. It was just the coolest thing. And Rick, the main guy, at the end of the episode, he goes, there's a saying in our business that a good item sells, but a great story sells.
Yeah.
And just, I can't, I've never wanted anything more.
How does that exist?
He bought it off the guy who brought it in for 16 grand, which sounds like a lot. But with that story, they're going to make 50 plus grand off that.
Yeah, they
or
will.
Put it in a museum or something.
It's definitely the kind of thing you can see getting sold around over the years. Like every sort of 10 years it gets sold again.
Oh,
that's
how
phenomenal.
How Anne Rice doesn't own that. Do you know what I mean? There are people specifically linked with modern vampire lore that...
Maybe she didn't know it existed.
I don't think anyone did. They had no idea what it was when they brought it in, and they thought it was a joke. And it was Chum, the youngest one, who was like, guys, we have to get this. This is amazing. And the rest of them were like, you know vampires aren't real. Like,
that's
it's
not the
about
point.
That.
Yeah, that's not what it is.
It was one of the – like, they always get some cool stuff in, and there's stuff I get excited about, and they have some cool stories.
Yeah.
But this thing, just the friendship group that painted –
yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
The people that were involved with that are, you know, some of the architects of 20th century science fiction.
They're legendary.
Yeah.
They are names.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That is a cool find.
Yeah. So, you know I spoiled the episode, but y'all don't care. You're not going to go and watch.
Or you could go and watch it now because you know that it's got that in it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the quiz. We will have The Walking Dead.
Later.
Yeah, after this. So you know how I was talking about Big Little Lies? And I mentioned the fact, how could they do a third season? I mean, they're not going to, but how could they do a third season with so many people who are very famous?
Yes.
I'm impressed they locked them down for a second one. So I thought, well, the quiz is going to be named the movie or TV show based off my synopsis of these Little Lies actors. So it's I'm going to give you a synopsis of a famous movie or TV show that they were in, and you've got to say who it is.
Okay.
Not character, just
sure,
actor.
Sure.
Everyone is in different groups or factions, and then there's some people who don't fit into the groups and they're considered super dangerous. You also mentioned your hatred of...
So it's Tim Burton something.
No. This is from... So these are people who are in Big Little Lies. They're in Big Little Lies. They're actresses. She has a name that we thought perhaps could be connected to Dolly Parton.
Reese Witherspoon.
Shailene Woodley.
Oh, okay.
Divergent.
Oh, sure.
Also doubles up as one for Zoe Kravitz as well, who is in Divergent.
And she's in Mad Max.
Forgot about that one. Damn it. Okay, so this is another one. They're singing and dancing, lots of colour. Ewan McGregor's there fawning over this Aussie actress as people can.
Give me can. That would be Nicole Kidman.
In Moulin Rouge, which was very colourful. Well, it's a Baz Luhrmann thing, I guess. It is.
I like that song that they sing on the roof where it mashes up all the other songs.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the one that was really sort of slow and sad?
No.
Come at me. I only watched it once. I was like, I think I like the idea of this movie more than the movie itself.
I think I bought the soundtrack and then taped it onto tape and took out the songs I didn't like.
Okay,
so
great.
There was maybe two songs.
Yeah, okay, just in high rotation. There's an island full of big creatures and a glass of water shakes on a car.
So that's Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
So Laura Dern.
Laura Dern, yeah.
She's really the only female in that film.
Apart from the girl,
Ellie, the young girl.
Who was around the time.
Lex.
But I couldn't tell you what she was in if she is in anything.
I don't think she went on to anything much. Okay. The boy did, Tim Joseph Mazzella. He was in The Pacific. He was fantastic in that.
I don't remember. I remember him in Jurassic Park, but nothing else. If you get voted in as a leader, you have
that
to do whatever
Reese
it takes.
Yeah. For...
It
election?
Could be a couple. Yeah, I chose Election. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Such a good
movie,
right?
So dark.
So good. And actually, probably worthwhile watching again. It's been a few years for me.
Yep.
I wonder if I've got it on DVD somewhere.
It holds up. I watched it 2 or 3 years ago, and it still holds up.
All right, this is the final one. Earth can be a bad place to be in, but Trevor is perfect for it. I almost said the name of the show then. This is a TV show.
Earth is a bad place.
Yeah, bad place.
So that would be Adam Scott.
Adam Scott, nice one. That was good.
I had to join some dots there.
That was very, very good.
Thank you.
I didn't want to give too many other words because I really wanted you to focus on Bad Place and Earth.
Oh, it was Trevor.
Trevor.
I was like, Trevor. There's GTA.
Yes.
Oh, good place.
Yeah. So that's it.
Nice one.
That's a good one.
That was a tough quiz.
Yeah, the Divergent one was a bit difficult because I was really stretching my memory to remember what the movie or TV or book was about.
Sure. I best know her as the woman that, the girl that almost played Mary Jane in the second version of Spider-Man.
Oh, really?
Andrew Garfield.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who did they get? They got, what's the face?
They cut the character. Emma Stone plays Gwen Stacy, so she plays the other girlfriend from Spider-Man's youth.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's a whole thing.
It feels like ages ago.
It was ages ago. 2014? Maybe even earlier?
Yeah, because they were together, and that was a while ago.
It was a while ago.
All right, we need to get into spoilers. Mm.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Hey, you said you had some news earlier that you thought I probably had.
Yeah.
Why don't we say it at the same time?
Say
ready?
It word for word.
3, 2, 1. Michonne's going. Yeah,
she's out of there. I'm not really surprised. She's got so much going on.
I could see her head on a stake at the end as a message from the Whisperers.
Ooh.
It needs to be a big, big name to do it. And I can see them subbing her in. Because they've already changed things from the comic so much. And, I don't know, it's so far gone from what it's supposed to be.
That you don't know. Yeah. I watched it, but I noticed I was on my phone a bit.
Yeah, me too.
Which I never used to be. I used to be absolutely 100% focused in on that show.
So I will say that the Whisperers are scary. And I'm enjoying the fact there's some genuine threat back on the show. I didn't love the introduction of Lydia, the girl that's locked up below, mainly because it makes me so angry that she's down there with Henry, because that's Carl's storyline.
Yeah.
There's no reason why they killed Carl. No reason. And
shock value. That's the only thing. It's shock value.
But
it's not. It doesn't shock you into watching more of it. It shocks you into being annoyed.
And it just Henry is a chore of a character. And
well, it's when I saw him on the show again, like when I watched the episode again, I was like, oh, what's his connection again? Like I'd forgotten who he was.
Yep.
I'm like, it's something about Carol. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Look, it's difficult for me to talk about why the pairing of Lydia and Carl is important without doing a bit of spoilering. So we're behind the spoiler wall, and this is from the comics. Feel free to put your fingers in your ear. I'm about to tell you who Lydia actually is. Blah, 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 blah. Lydia is the daughter of the leader of the Whisperers.
Well, she was talking about her mother.
Yes. So she does make it clear there that it's her mother, but her mother is Alpha, and she may or may not, I don't know how the TV show will go, has been sent as a mole. to find out everything about these people and go back to the Whisperers so they can rock up. The Whisperers have a stadium with about 10,000, 15,000 zombies ready to go.
Kind of like the stadium in Fear the Walking Dead.
Very much so. And they use that, they walk in the middle of it and they just go and take down settlements. So
why?
Their whole mentality is you have to die so we can live.
Okay.
We've evolved and we live with them. They protect us. We protect them. You are a threat. You have to go.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of Lydia is that she is the daughter of them. So Carl is the daughter, is the son of Rick, and it's meant to be the coming together of these two communities.
Yeah, the two of them, but instead you've just got this kid. I don't give a shit that Henry, who's been adopted.
Henry's meant to be the son of Ezekiel and stuff. We're not invested Ezekiel enough. Yeah.
Well, we haven't seen him for ages.
Nope.
Like, neither of those two are in this episode at all.
Nope. I don't know how well all of this is going to land. I hope it works well. They've got Samantha Morton is playing Alpha, and that's pretty great casting.
What did you think about the whole Negan and him going back to the Saviors and realizing there was nothing, well, where the Saviors were and realizing there was nothing there? Are we supposed to 100% believe him? Is he up to stuff? Is this a changed character? Is this his redemption? Like, what?
Again, I'm pissed off that they've pulled that trigger on the storyline now, because in the comic, they left it a while simmering. Negan maybe overheard someone talking about the first Whisperer's attack. So when he gets out, he goes to find them.
Instead of just going back to his old stomping
So he goes
ground.
To the Whisperers and is like, I want in.
Oh, really?
Give me a dead suit.
Huh.
But again, with the spoilers, he's actually just trying to use it to the opportunity to try and decapitate Alpha and knock out the Whisperers before they can attack, because he wants to go back to Alexandria and go, look how much I've changed. I want in. So that's what they're trying to do with this storyline, but he hasn't got the big redemptive act to justify returning and getting his place back yet. So I'm assuming that will come in a year from now or something.
Maybe.
I mean, I thought it was very cool that he was having such cool meditative moments.
What I liked about his time out there was he got out and he was sitting there in the car door.
Mm-hmm.
And he was eating and he's like, oh, this is lovely. And he looked up and the sun was on his face and he was free. He could do whatever he liked. And then the zombie was there. It was stupid as zombies are. So it wasn't a Whisperer. It was just bashing on the other side of the car. And he was like, oh my God, that's right.
But there was
the world's not peaceful out here.
There was a hint of fear in his eye as well.
Yeah.
Which I loved. Of like, this is the first time he's probably had a brush with the zombies in 6 years.
Took him a few goes to actually down that zombie as well.
So I enjoyed the storyline itself, whether it will pay off too much later. Do they let him back in, not put him back in his cell now? It'd be interesting to see where that plays out.
I thought it was interesting, the long walk back with Jesus over the horse. Because it almost felt like the fact that we kept seeing him, not that there were any close-ups or anything, but you kept thinking, is he alive? Is he? And then they came back and everyone was sad. They were like, he's gone. You know, there were looks of, he's gone. And then you went, oh, yeah, that's right. It was so long ago that we saw it. The sadness has gone for the audience, but we're still supposed to relive it with the Hilltop community.
I went back and checked that first scene and someone leans down and quickly...
It was Aaron, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, but it was very subtle.
I can't believe no one made a joke of Barry and we'll be back in 3 days. He's just looking for a respawn point. Whatever you want to call it.
Even
said Jesus died.
Yeah.
And no one's like, for our sins? or in, you know,
Oh, dear.
Leave Jesus.
Jesus. All right, so, look, I think the Whisperers...
Daryl's in charge now.
Daryl's in charge.
Town meeting.
He's been in charge before. He was in charge of the Saviors, and that went well.
Mm.
I am looking forward to more Whisperer stuff, only because the way zombies act now is such a known with not only the audience but the world, the actor, the characters, that now that they've had time to figure out that these are not zombies, or are they zombies? Is it just zombies? Are the Whisperers in there now? So they go, even if they come across a group that has absolutely no Whisperers in there, there's new fear.
Yeah. How terrifying was that shot of crushing up against the gate and then the hand going through? That was a perfect introduction to the Whisperers of how they operate. Do you feel threat for Alden and Luke left at the very end, the two surrounded by them?
I feel like they're going to be... I don't think they're going to die. I just feel like they're going to be taken captive.
They're going to end up dead when that fair happens.
Do you reckon we're going to go and see... Will they be taken to the stadium? Are we going to see the stadium? Are we going to get to...
No. I don't know if the stadium can work because the only time we see the stadium in the comics is when Rick tries to go and calm things down with Alpha. And he's like, look, I've seen your community. You're not that big. It's okay. And she's like, oh, we're not that big. Please come with me. And takes him. And she's like, no, this is our community. That's just the outpost. It's that type of thing. And she just does it as we're coming to kill you, as a, if you mess up, we will let this out.
Yeah, right.
And it's the looming threat. I don't know how much death we will see before the fair that he was talking about, that Luke was talking about, if they want to do music and things like that. Also, get ready to say goodbye to Rosita. How soap opera was that storyline of like, hey, Sadiq, remember when we were fooling around before I hooked up with Gabriel? Shh, don't speak too loud because Eugene loves me and he's inside. She's dead. If you're pregnant and you're not married to Glenn, you're dead.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm also thinking that we haven't seen Gabriel. I've had forgotten that she was with Gabriel. I thought she was with Eugene. I remember it was somebody odd. Like, I'd just forgotten all these aspects of it, which is not something that has happened to me in other seasons.
It just threw me that she was in there talking with Eugene and being quiet about it with Sadiq behind.
You know,
I'm like, oh, she with Sadiq?
Fun.
Was she with Sadiq? It's just, she's hooked up with so many guys on the shows. Let her have her own personality. You nearly got there. When was it? Last season.
A little bit with Sasha, yeah.
Yeah, nearly, but now it's just regressed and she's in between three guys.
It's frustrating.
At least it's the end of the world. Make it a polygamous relationship. Don't leave Eugene out. I'm sure he'd just sit in the corner and watch.
That's right. Look, even if she was to approach him, he would freak out.
Now, I don't mind saying that I am happy with a cuckold situation if that is what is on offer. Like, something like that, I could see him.
And I wouldn't put that past at least the comic book.
No.
Maybe not the show.
Comic book has Eugene in quite a precarious position at the moment.
Really?
Yeah. Just like the show, he's a lot more of a leader and braver and stuff like that. And he is trapped out alone and a massive herd has just trapped him inside.
Oh, no. Cool.
And the herd was unintentionally led there by other survivors who didn't know, because Eugene had snuck out to do something, didn't know he was in there.
Thanks, guys. Good one. I should have emailed you, but I didn't. Well, more Walking Dead next week. I'm sure we're going to ramp up more Whisperers stuff and we'll hear more about the fair.
I think so. Those are the big events coming up.
That's what's happening.
Yep.
And that's what's happening with us. If you do have a watching suggestion or anything, like if you got a quiz suggestion or just some questions, you can email us at thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com and that'll be fun. Tom, thank you very much.
Snickerdoodle pollywaffle.